Welcome to all of our two and four-legged listeners. Welcome back to What the Bark, the Rightpaw podcast. And we are back again today. I'm Nathan from Rightpaw and, of course, joined as always by my partner in crime, Genetic George. Welcome back, George.
Yeah, welcome. Hi, Nathan. Good. Back. And it's just us two today.
Just us two. And I think I'm excited because we had such a great response to our series on dog coat color that we thought we'd come back and do another educational episode, this time on dog coat phenotypes.
That's right. Coat phenotypes, another sort of interesting group of tests. And Nathan, let me say, what a great way for us to unwind on what's been a hectic week, to sit back, talk genetics, do our podcast. It's so relaxing. Yeah. That we've got an hour away from dealing with anything on the
hustle and bustle of
what we're trying to run a breeder business and dog business. So this is good. I'm going to sit back and just
educate our listeners and talk about something which, you know, you look at a dog and you see so many different coat types. You know, there's long and there's wiry and there's short and there's fluffy and all of these things.
Fluffy, and I've got this coat and improper coat, my oodle shedding this and this. I get it. We've talked about coat color. That was good. We got some really good feedback. So we thought, let's continue on the phenotypic route and let's talk about the coat. And there's three sort of type of things we talk about when it comes to coat, isn't it?
We're going to talk about, there's the length, there's curliness, I guess.
And then the pattern of it, isn't it really?
Yes, the furnishing.
All right. So before we start, I always like to start with a nice reference. And if people want to sort of dig into a journal and try and get a really good reference, there's a really good one by Eduardo Cadieu. I think I sent you this link.
We did our prep.
And it's a science publication. So really, you know, anything that gets published in science is reputable. And it's a 2009 August volume 326 for people. There's a link on plenty of websites. If you Google coat color, and really good paper because it sort of did a whole association across the genome, looked at 80 domestic breed and came up with really three genes that are really important in hair growth and furnishings.
And it's amazing that, you know, again, just similar to coat color, you know, you can look at the genetic makeup of the dog and look at and see what colors, you know, they're going to produce in their offspring. Same here with the actual coat length and curliness. It's the same thing. You can look at three specific genes and basically you can determine from those genes what, you know, the offspring of the pups are going to be. It's the same premise.
They're recessives. There is a couple that is dominant. The complexity goes though, and we'll talk about it more, is that within these genes, there are more genes. Is what we're going to talk about. For example, in coat length, there is one gene, but there are four different mutations that we can test for. And in fact, there's five. So let's get into it. Let's start with, you know, as I say, scientists like to abbreviate things. So we have the R-spondin-2 or the RSPO2 gene. And that one is associated with, come on, Nathan, I've sent you some.
Yeah, I've been doing my research. This is improper coat.
Correct.
So this is gene one we're going to talk about out of three. This is RSPCO2.
Well, I'm going to break three down. I'm going to go through I think I might talk about something else first, but that's the RSP, the improper coat, firstly identified in the Portuguese water dog and an issue in a very popular breed. Well, we like to call it a breed, the oodles.
Yes.
Who you're putting together a shedding with a non-shedding, you're infusing those two breeds together, which is a cause of what this RSPO2 gene, the improper coat. So that's one. We're going to also talk about the fibroblast. This is my favorite. The fibroblast growth factor 5, known as the FGF5, which is?
All about length.
Correct. The length. Why my grey silver hair flows the way it is because I have an FGF5 gene, which is the good thing about the FGF5 I'm going to talk about, this is going to be, there are five genes in there that that cause hair length across different breeds, and I'll talk about those later. So that's hair length. It's the most popular.
Yeah, and again, you might think about, yeah, breeds like the Golden Retriever, you know, they have that longer sort of, you know, golden sort of coat, as opposed to the Labrador Retriever, which obviously has the shorter coat. So you can sort of see that distinction between, you know, two retriever types that have, you know,
and what's interesting is that in the Labrador Retriever, there are actually carriers and negatives of coat length and positive. It doesn't mean that the coat's longer, it means it has a thicker type coat. It's interesting. So although they're a shorter coat, they still carry the gene, and you can have a carrier of long coat in the Labrador and a positive phenotype. It doesn't mean it's got it. So the hair length varies.
Okay. So yes, it's all right. There we go. That I didn't know that either.
You didn't know that?
No, there we go.
So we do offer that. So, and then of course there's the third one, which is really something in my family. It's the Keratin 71, or the KRT71 encoding respondent to fibroblasts. What do you think that is?
Well, I mean, interesting, because keratin is usually associated with something different, but this is a curly coat, or this is the curly gene.
Correct. And, you know, curls, popular amongst the Sophronides family. So yes. Again, a gene. So yeah, we're going to talk about hair length, which is short and long, which is the FGF5. We're going to talk about the presence and absence of curls, which is the KRT71. And we're going to talk about improper coat, which is the RSPO2.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's, you know, really simple. And I think when you start to look at the breeds associated with these different phenotypes, it makes it super clear as well. And there's a great diagram that we saw from that article that George mentioned earlier, which we'll put in the show notes, and it really easily explains, you know, when each of these three gene phenotypes are present, you know, what does that mean for the coat, and it's got some sort of examples. So we'll talk through those as we go.
Correct. So we're going to talk firstly about long hair, one that's across many breeds.
Yes.
You can see it. For over 100 breeds, is the some breeds it's fixed in. Like, for example, a poodle is always going to be positive for long hair.
Yeah.
It's got no other,
no other variation.
No, it's a recessive mode of inheritance. So, you know, negative means you have a short coat carrier, you're carrying a copy of the gene, and a positive is your long haired, for example, the dash hound. Mm-hmm. Most short haired dash hounds would be negative for the FGF5 gene. Most long-haired Dachshunds would be positive.
Yeah, that's the simplest way of thinking about it. You know, one breed, two different variations.
And it's interesting because dogs that have two copies of the variant have long hair due to the lack. It's interesting because they lack the hair growth termination signal. So it's interesting. It grows long because there's something that says...
There's no off switch.
There's no off switch. Correct. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's amazing. It just keeps growing and growing, and then you have to you cut it.
It falls off, or it grows, and a new one grows on. So dogs with one copy or no copies have short hair, but different variation of short. And it depends on, of course, other genes that influence it. So what's interesting about long hair, and this is why sometimes labs and the way we report them is something that we need to standardize, because although we're testing for long hair, there is actually five mutations of long hair, with each one different in each breed. So sometimes you might see something where someone calls it L1, L2, L3, L4, L5.
These are all mutations of the FGFIs.
Correct. So there's a variant in a different gene variant in each one. So the, for example, the common FGF5 or the C variant that goes from a G to a T is across many breeds. Some people call it the L1. So what needs to happen is when labs are reporting, and what the people need to do is look at what gene you're testing. For example, Orivet doesn't test every long hair variant. And you might send me in a breed and it's long hair. For example, you may send me in an Afghan or an Akita, and there's a specific mutation that is associated with the long hair in the Afghan. We don't test for it. It's called L2. There's another variant, which is called L3, which is only seen in a Eurasia breed. Do you know what a Eurasia is?
I read that. I'd never heard of it before.
Either did I. I looked it up. Have a good look. It looks to me like it's almost like I know people won't like the way I describe this, but I like to think of it as a cross between a chow chow and a German shepherd.
Wow. I'm Googling it again. I'm going to refamiliarize myself with that. You know what? That is a good assessment. It does. It's almost like a, it's like a hound type of, yeah.
Oh, I looked.
It's a Spitz. Yeah, there you go. It's a Eurasian Spitz almost.
There you go. So it's a Eurasian Spitz breed and
originated in Germany.
So there's a separate long hair mutation for that breed.
Interesting. So yeah, so those five mutations of the long hair gene really impact sort of only very specific breeds.
Correct. Correct. We call the L2, which is again is a simple variant to the Afghan hand. There's an L3, which is the Eurasia. Then there's the L4. We offer this L4 as well. And we offer it because it includes an interesting breed where the mutation is found in about 6% of the breed. What do you think it might be? Let me give you a guess here.
Okay.
It's popular. Mm-hmm. It's a brachycephalic breed.
Right.
It they got a screw tail.
Yeah.
They
okay. I think you're leading me down a path. I think I've heard of this because this is the very, you know, sort of, you know, rare, popular sort of French bulldog and the fluffy variant, I'm guessing.
Rest. Oh, Nathan, I'm glad you've done some research and haven't come to these podcasts unprepared like I do.
No, last time you grilled me too hard last time and I felt embarrassed. I needed to do some more research.
You know, it's good that, well, you know, if ever I'm sick, you can take.
I'll step in.
So you're right. This is the L4 variant, which we offer. So it's interestingly, it's seen in the Afghan hound, the Eurasia breed, and the French bulldog.
Yeah, fascinating. And it's just a mutation. It's not like there's no in-crossing or crossing with another breed. It's just a mutation.
Don't ask me how it only and why it only appears in that breed, but it's how we get this fluffy French bulldog.
Yeah, fascinating. 6%, you said, of
from what I've tested, I'm seeing more and more. So what happened originally is we used to offer only the L1 variant, mm-hmm. and French bulldog people would come back and say, what are you talking about? My dog's fluffy. But look at my results. I was only testing one variant. Look at the gene. Compare the gene of what I was testing. And then there's a new one, the L5, which is seen in the Akita, the Siberian Husky, and the Samoyed. It's interesting how these ancient breeds have all got separate long hair mutations. So the evolution of the gene has obviously changed. So there's something there.
And for the Dash, like going back to the Dash, and the Dash, and there's no mutation. That's just the standard FGF5. And then there's, you know, these five mutations are very much breed specific.
Afghan, Eurasia are one each specific. And then there's the Afghan, Eurasia, French Bulldog. And then there's the M5, which is the Akita, Siberian Husky. So what I love about these is each one gives a different type of long hair.
Mm.
And what is even more interesting is we are seeing fluffy Frenchies that carry one gene of each one. So if I'm carrying the L1 and I'm carrying the L4, it's an L1, L4 positive, which is a different type of fluffy.
Oh my gosh. It's like fluffy inception.
So if you've got an L1, it's a long hair, we'll call it for French bull, fluffy. If you've got an L4, it's a different type of fluffy. If you've got an L1, L4, it's another different type of fluffiness. Mm-hmm. Interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting.
I would love to see some photos of these different fluffy Frenchies that have different, if anyone's listening, in fact, if anyone can send me a photo of their fluffies that I can use, I'm going to give them a DNA voucher.
There we go. You heard it here first. Send it to george@orovet.com.
Send us a photo of an L1 fluffy, an L4 fluffy, and an L1 L4 fluffy. The first people to send me one of each get a DNA voucher. That's a giveaway of close to $600 for three photos. Jesus, this is
pretty good.
What a giveaway. It's because it intrigues me, just that different level of – so it also then – So you can have, let me get my head around this now. You can have a dog that's carrying an L4 fluffy, right? that mates with a dog that's carrying an L1 fluffy, and you can get a fluffy dog.
There you go. Gosh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's amazing. And I think, and this is just one of the phenotypes as well.
We can,
and this, you know, what annoys me, long hair is meant to be the easiest one.
I mean, I think, yeah, when you look at some of the breeds that, you know, carry that FGF5, even the basic, you know, your golden retrievers, your bearded collies, you know, your spaniels, your Bichon Frise, like that, they all carry that long haired gene. But when you combine it with some of the other breeds we're going to talk about, that's when it gets really, sorry, the other phenotypes that we are going to talk about, that's when it gets really interesting.
So you see all this in the, there was a 2013 animal genetics publication by Dierks talking about the heterozygosity, and he clearly states that, and I'm quoting here from his paper, there are some breeds that may carry other long hair mutations in their populations that may benefit from testing for other long hair mutations, because dogs with two different mutations present on different copies of the FGI gene may have long fluffy gene. Exactly what I've been talking about. So here's a benefit for one breed, which is the French Bulldog, which carries two different genes or mutations that produce a fluffy dog. So he talks about it. So there's a shout out to, and I do not know why the L2 gene is seen in the Akita, Eurasia, Samoyed, Husky, and the L4 is seen in the Afghan Hound, Eurasia, and French Bulldog. Don't ask me how the French Bulldog got in there. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, you Absolutely. Think of common ancestry. How did it get there? I don't know.
Well, I'm interested. Let's dive into the next two phenotypes as well, because I think that's, you know, when it starts to get really interesting. And I don't know, George, do you want to go curly or improper coat next?
Let's talk now about the RSPO2 variant, which is a dominant variant. So it's autosomal dominant. Mm-hmm. And really what it's associated with, it gives you that sort of texture and that different growth pattern of your hair or fur that's associated with your coat furnishings. So, you know, if you usually have two copies of this dominant gene, the RSPO2 genes, you won't show any sort of facial hair. You won't exhibit any of that. If you has one allele, they will exhibit it because it's a dominant trait. And then if you have two, then you, of course, of the recessive allele, you will not exhibit any coat furnishings. So two copies of the dominant gene, you will have it. One copy, you will also have it. Two of them that you don't have of these alleles, you won't exhibit it. But the way RSPCO2 works, it works in a combination together with long hair. So think about it, if you haven't got any long hair, you're not going to exhibit any of these curls because you've got a short hair. So am I making sense, or am I confused?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it's the improper coat, but I guess you could have it comes in different ways, I guess, because if you just had the RSPO2 variant, then you might be wiry. That's sort of the Australian Terrier. If you had long hair and you had the RSPO2 variant, then you'd have furnishings. So you might look like the bearded collie a little bit as well. So it can work on its own, but then it can also complement with some of the other phenotypes that we've talked about.
Exactly. It. So you never can just do one without the other. It was originally seen in this interesting, beautiful breed called the Portuguese Water Dog, because the Portuguese Water Dog has two basic variants where its coat is wavy and curly, and both of these together are bred together. So it's got a thick coat that covers the whole body. And I'm not reading this from John's book. This is, unfortunately, I haven't taken this from John. But in some cases, the Portuguese Water Dog can be, it can sometimes, you can see in an offspring where it's bred with this phenomenon known as an improper coat. So it's got a non-standard coat with short hair on the face, the head, and the legs. So it looks like it's almost been clipped. The whole and the other whole body is covered by this whole flat, short, slightly wavy hair.
Yeah. So I'm guessing the first Portuguese Water Dog breeder to breed this offspring with short hair around its body, you know, they're probably thinking, what in the world has happened here?
Exactly. And until about 2010, it was a mystery, because the gene was actually found and correlated to the improper coat in the Portuguese water dog in 2010.
Yeah, which just feels very recent for it. You know, it's a recent discovery that this gene, this improper coat gene, can really impact, you know, and it can crop up in a lot of different breeds as well.
So what it does is, and it's seen in a lot of the other breeds, which is more the oodle breeds, because in that breed, you're introducing these two competing types. So what happens is the underhair, and they lose their hair, which can also be an issue, and they present a limitations to some breeders because you really, one of the benefits of this Portuguese water dog together with, you know, other oodles and poodles is what? That is that it's got this allergic, people use them for some, you know, who suffer allergies, you're losing this improper coat. So it's an interesting gene, and it's seen in about 12% of the Portuguese water dogs. So what other breeds do we see this improper coat in? Well,
I think we talked about one before, which is the, you know, the bearded collie. That's one. So that's if you've got long, you know, long hair and the improper coat. You know, bearded collie would be one example of that. I think also, yeah, that if you just have improper coat only, you know, it might be a breed like the Australian Terrier. You get that sort of wiry sort of result.
All the oodles.
All the oodles.
The Bichon Havanese is another one that it's seen too. And, you know, then we, you know, then we're talking about also, there's a, the RSP2O gene that's seen in conjunction with the K, which probably will lead us onto the KRT71 gene, which is the curl.
The curl gene. Actually, George, before we get to the curl, I'm curious about the oodles a little bit more. Like, you know, as a, if I'm a, an oodle breeder, and, you know, what am I looking for with that RSPO2? You know, with the, what are some of the common questions you get about improper coat? Why are oodle breeders sort of looking at improper coat?
Yeah, because it sort of gives your coat this look that they, that isn't favorable. It's sort of a bit, as I said, a bit half curl and half straight. And what you're looking for is to try and move away and have a, go to a negative improper coat. It's sort of a deviation in the breed standard. And what they do is it's some see it as a fault, although when you're breeding, it's
yeah, you're sort of a bit of potluck, I guess, in some ways. But obviously you can breed the improper coat out, and I'm guessing it's sort of that straight wavy coat maybe that the Cavalier might normally have. But in a lot of the, like Cavoodles, for example, they probably want more of that curly sort of coat.
And around the face, you're not missing, you're not losing furnishings around the face and the leg and the other parts that are really, you want one consistent coat is what you're really looking for.
Yes. So it's sort of that, you know.
You want that facial hair sitting there, like as a, you don't want it, you don't want it as you missing on face, legs, like you'd see, it's almost like you've clipped the dog.
Yes. So, okay, interesting. So in those sort of, you know, cross breeds, it's sort of more, or breeds in development, it's all a bit of, you know, trying to breed towards a particular standard that you, that you're looking for. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay, cool. Thank you for indulging my, my curiosity and question. KRT71, let's dive back in. So we've gone from long to improper coat to curly coat.
So the KRT71 gene, which is the real one that's associated with that curly coat, people sometimes refer to it as a CU. There are two genes associated with curly coat. We test with both for both of them. And it impacts the real, the amount of hair curl. And it's sort of, I mean, KRT, short for that keratin, it sort of changes the component, the structural component of the hair. And the keratin prevents the from the hair binding a regular pattern, which alters the structure of the hair and results in this curly coat, basically. That's the science behind it. It's a, it works on an autosomal incomplete dominant fashion, which is the most confusing mode of inheritance you can have. So dominant, but incomplete, which means the the amount of curl will vary.
Depending on the breed itself, or
breed itself. It really depends on genetics and, you know, other non, you know, we can't sort of measure it. It's sort of incomplete, and some it will curl more and some it won't. If you've got one copy of the variant, you'll have sort of wavy or moderately curly hair.
And if you've got two? I've
got two copies, then you'll have more curl. Mm. If you're carrying both genes, you'll have, again, more curl and more waviness. Mm. But again, there's other factors that may influence the amount of curl.
Mm. And is there a breed where, you know, you might have no copies of the KRT71 and, you know, two copies of it? Like, is there a breed where you might see a range of curl, or is it very much, you know, either it's in one, or it's in the breed, or it's not in the breed?
Yeah, look, now you wouldn't see any curl in a Labrador, although no. I have had a strange request from some French bulldog people to include the curly coat in their testing. There is a beautiful breed that is known for its curly coat, and that is the curly-coated retriever.
Yeah, it's in the name.
It's in the name. And that was where they identified the second curly coat mutation, which is on the arginine 151 gene. And its variant is seen specifically in this breed, which causes another type of curl. But I think for people to sort of get the real understanding of curl is to maybe look at this fantastic diagram we've been talking about, which sort of combines all the three together. And that is, there's a really nice chart. So let's go through this chart. So say maybe you start with what they show in the first. If I was going to tell you, I'm going to draw you a picture of a basset hound, right? What do you think the long hair gene in the basset hound would be?
Well, that's the thing. There probably wouldn't be a long hair gene in Correct. The basset hound.
So negative. What do you think the improper coat gene on a basset hound would be?
Probably also, again, yeah, be negative.
Good work. And then what do you think the curly coat?
Well, I'm yet to see a curly basset hound, but I would also, yeah, it'd be negative. So they'd probably be the breed that typifies negative across all three coat phenotypes. So they'd be a short coat.
So let's now think about the opposite. I'm going to give you a picture, draw a picture. I'm going to start thinking about a Bichon Frise. What do you think the long hair on a Bichon Frise will be?
Well, they have a very long long coat, so I'm imagining that it is, in fact, positive.
Correct. What do you think the curliness of a Bichon Frise will be?
I'd say it's pretty curly. So that'd probably also then be positive for the Keratin 71 or KRT71.
Thank you. And what do you think the improper coat on this dog would be?
Now, so this is interesting because, yeah, it is positive, but I'm curious to get your explanation, George. You know, what are the furnishings on the Bichon Frise? What makes it an improper coat? Because it is, yeah, it's improper coat.
Because if you look at it, it has this hyperallergenic coat. It has these furnishings that are part of the RSPTO gene around the face. Sorry, my dogs don't like furnishings. So, yeah, interesting. So paint the picture. Bichon positive at all three.
Basset hound.
Let's
negative.
Now sort of throw a little curveball in, right? Let's have a think about the bearded collie. So let's think about the bearded collie. What do you think the long hair gene on a bearded collie would be?
Yeah, that's definitely long. You know, very, very much.
We're going to go positive.
Positive on FGF. Yeah.
Let's think about the curls, the KRT71.
So I think that'd be negative because you look at that breed, it's very, very straight. You know, there's not a lot of curl in the bearded collie. It's very much, you know, straight down, groomed very neatly.
Exactly. And then let's look at the RSPO2. Think about the facial hair, the furnishings. What do you think that would be?
Yeah. So you look at a bearded collie, you can see it's got that really distinct sort of, you know, moustache that sort of comes down again, straight moustache. So that would mean there's improper coat.
So it's long with furnishings. So the Bichon Frise was long hair, curly with furnishings. The bearded collie was long with furnishings, no curl.
Yeah, take the
The
curl
basset
out.
hound was just simply a short-haired dog. Now, let me throw you and talk to you about what do you think a water spaniel would be? So let me paint you the picture of an Irish water spaniel for those that don't know looking. What do you think the long hair would be?
Well, definitely, I would say positive for long hair.
Correct. What do you think the curly variant would be?
I think they have a lot of ringlets, the Irish Water Spaniels. So when you look at them, they do have a lot of ringlets. So probably I'd be saying positive as well.
Nathan, so you don't even need me anymore. And then we're talking now about the improper goat. Think about where some of that furnishings doesn't appear, the face doesn't have it. What do you
Yeah.
anything on what you think the RSPO2 would?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it now, and I think it has a little bit of hair that's coming over the eyebrows, but the snout is very clear. There's no sort of furnishings around that, so it'd probably be a negative based on that.
Beautiful. Excellent. So there you go. So here's a dog that is just curly with long hair. So there's a, so let me now throw you what I think. If you get this right, you're going to go to the top of the class, right here. A golden retriever. What do you think the curl or the KRT71 would be?
Well, I think again, the lovely family pet. I think anyone who's walking down the street looks at a golden retriever, and I don't think there's a lot of curl in that coat. So it wouldn't be positive, be negative.
And what do you think the improper coat would be on that dog?
I think again, probably negative because, oh, correct. Yeah,
Okay, you're
okay.
correct, man. So it's a long hair, just positive for long hair.
Yeah. I think it's good because, as you're walking, like all of our listeners that are walking down the street, they see a dog. Now you can start thinking about it in terms of these three phenotypes. You can say, okay, if it's a long-haired dog, it's got FGF5. If it's curly, it's got KRT71. And improper coat, I think, is a bit harder to tell because it does vary. So that's a tricky one. But if it's got that moustache, you might be able to sort of
It's
guess.
harder for me to explain as well. Don't, you know, Nathan, you know how many times I walk to a park and I look at a dog and I go, KYKYAYAT, little b.
Yeah.
And they go, what are you talking about? I go, don't worry, that's your dog. I don't know its microchip
Like
number. I don't know whatever, but it's a.
it's like that scene from Rain Man where you've got all the numbers floating around your head. That's you when you go to a dog park.
Now I'm going to go FGF5 KRT71. Interesting. So you're right. It's interesting how all these genes combine, and then maybe we can have a segment on shedding and non-shedding and double coat and single coat. So I'm going to leave you with one. If you get this right, let's think about an Airedale Terrier. What do you think that would be? Let's have a think here. So it's
Yeah.
a fair. If you so you know.
Beautiful dogs if you've never seen them before.
Beautiful.
Stunning dogs.
When you pat them, it's got this shorter coat. So what do you think the FGF5 would
Oh, well, I think you let that one slip because it does have a short coat, and I think it wouldn't be positive. It'd be a negative on the long hair gene.
And then what do you think its curls would be?
Definitely positive. It's got a lovely sort of, those fine ringlets that are sort of quite lovely and
A
smooth.
coat or its wire would be, it's, you know, what do you think that would be?
Yeah, it's I mean it is definitely wiry, and it's got that little sort of moustache as well that it's known, the little beard. So yeah, I'd say it would have improper coat.
Excellent,
There we go.
Nathan. Well done. It's a wiry and curly phenotype is what we'd call. So let's
Yes.
go through them. There's a short coat, which we went through, which is again only defined when you've got nothing. You've got
Negative across each.
a crease, except for you can still have a long-haired dog if it's positive for just the FGF5. If you're negative at RSPO2, RSPCA, I was going to say RSPO2 and KRT71, you're just going to be controlled by the hair length of your dog. Correct? That's what
Yes.
we know. If you're positive at RSPO2, which is the improper coat, then it's going to really control your furnishings or the amount of wiring you've got. If you're positive at your KRT71, it's going to be the amount of curl.
Yes. So really, actually, it's quite straightforward. You got your just those three phenotypes that really control a lot of what you see in your dog's coat. And it's a great educational sort of diagram, which we'll put in the notes, which really sort of brings that to life.
So really seven types, isn't it? When you're short, wire and curly, long with furnishings, curly and curly with furnishings, all defined by different mutations at those three genes. Maybe I should put that up on my website because it would make my life a lot easier.
It's a good one. I reckon you could design one yourself and it'd be great.
That, you know what, George, I'm going to go away and I'm going to get Abby, who's the new person at sort of helping George out, to put a fact sheet together on these three.
Brilliant. And we can link this podcast episode and yeah, hopefully everyone who's listening has learned a little bit more about it. And I think another great sort of, series around, we've gone from color, now we've got coat.
You
Um,
know
and
what's
there's more we
yeah,
can
you know
do.
it's been really good, Nathan. We've had some really good feedback from people and some podcasts they'd like to hear.
Yes, we've had some great listeners that have written in. Thank you very much. You know who you are. And it's great. I think we've got some great episodes lined up that'll be coming out. So if you have any suggestions for episodes that you'd like to hear or more educational series that you'd like us to dive into, you can email george at aurovet.com or nathan at rightpaw.com.au. We'd love to hear from
In
you.
fact, hassle Nathan at rightpaw.com.
George gets too much hassle. You can definitely email me.
Email Nathan. He's happy to respond and then try and put it all because he really organizes all these podcasts. And we're going to get back to have some more guests. We've got some guests lined up as well based on some of the feedback we've had. We're going to reach out.
All right. Do we need a giveaway to end off the show? I mean, we've got your French bulldog giveaway as well, the fluffy Frenchies.
Yeah, well, we've got through. Maybe I can give another one a copy of John's books as well.
Yeah,
Let's think.
nice.
Let's think about what we can give a book away for her.
So I think I'm going to jump in with one. I think if you can email George, the first person when this podcast comes out, to email george@aurovet.com with the breed where the RSPO2 gene was first discovered. So what was the breed where that mutation was first, reported on and discovered? If you can email George with that breed, which we talked about earlier in the episode, we'll give away one of the John Bryson books on breed standard.
Please, and in that email, include any feedback. What we can do better, what you'd like to listen to.
Yeah. Unanswered questions from the podcast, we can answer it in the next episode.
Excellent. All right. Well, Nathan, I've enjoyed
That
that.
was great. I learned a lot.
Nice way to end the week.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
sort of wet and miserable here, and the dogs have been looking at me to take them for a walk, and it's been wet. And just for anyone who wants to know, Charlie's doing okay. He's the glaucoma in his eye has been, we're sort of managing that. I am to go back to the vet and sort of have a look at it and see if the pressure is going down with the medication. If not, we're going to have to remove that eye, Nathan.
Oh gosh, poor guy.
Yeah, so he's got cataract in one eye, he's got glaucoma in the other. He's struggling to see, but guess what? He seems happy. He eats. He still loves to go to walk. He bumps into a few metal poles and people that leave those scooters on the footpath, Nathan.
They're a nuisance.
He's nuisance. He's bumping into them. He's got a squash face too, which doesn't help. He bumps into sort of things. But it's interesting. I don't know if this is true. Maybe this is another podcast. Is people tell me that dogs are clever. They measure the amount of steps to a certain door, and so they know where they're going based on the steps. So he goes in and out of his doggy door without any problem. He's only fallen into a pond in the back once so far, which is good. He's learnt that. Mary doesn't help him at all. Mary's still in his food when he walks away, and
Taking
she's at his
advantage.
bite, taking advantage. Don't look at me like that, Mary. You know I'm talking about that. So yes, I'll keep people up.
Yeah, keep us in the loop. Good old Charlie. He's been around since day one of the
Day
podcast.
one, that's right. He's been so the eye specialist measured it. We've sort of on medication to keep it. We've been able to take it down from 71, pressure of 71 down to 51. His right eye's at 19, his left eye's at 51. If we can't get it down anymore, then I've got to make a decision. And maybe people can email me to remove, or because imagine your eye four times the amount of the other way, the pressure on it. And, you know, someone even sent me some, someone sent me a eye patches you can get for your dog.
Wow. Very, very, no, I look after, you know, listening to all the different accessories, you know, we have bow ties for dogs. I'm sure a eye patch for a dog isn't too far fetched.
So, you know, anyone who wants to send a shout out for Charlie, he'll take it on. He's sort of, we're getting to that age where he's sort of 13 and, you know, these are, but he's fit. The vet tells me he's fit. He's got, you know, plenty of, his heart's great and can jump around. He can still jump, but it's just that his eyesight's gone. But you know what, Nathan? Their nose are their eyes. Am I right here?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the sense of smell in a dog is amazing. So, yeah, they can, you know, I'm not a vet, but the nose, yeah, I'm sure makes up for a lot.
Maybe it's about time we had an eye specialist on.
Could be, it could be. I think, yeah, we've got some great educational episodes we can do in the future.
Problem with eye specialists, they're gonna want triple time the amount, and we're a non-profitable podcast at the moment. We haven't had any sponsors come through, but we're working on it. No, really good to chat. For anyone listening, just thought I'd give you an update on Charlie, all the people that are Warren Maria. I'll give an update on you two and your weight problem in the next podcast.
Well, look, George, thanks again. Great to share your knowledge, and thank you for taking the time to dive into dog coats. Loved it.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks, everyone.
All right. To all of our listeners, we'll see you in the next episode. We hope you enjoyed this episode of What the Bark. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed the podcast. You can visit rightpaw.com.au for your all-in-one place to find responsible, verified breeders. And you can visit orivet.com.au for all your pet genetic testing needs. Remember to stay positive, and we'll see you in the next episode.